boys, if you love Sweet Valley, better make some noise. It's the Sweet, Sweet Valley Live. A Sweet Valley Jack and Tanner enjoy and a sweet analysis of the Sweet Valley books will never annoy you. Through the Sweet, Sweet Valley boys, if you love Sweet Valley, better make some noise. And life is sweet and it's full of joys, cause you're in Sweet Valley with the Sweet, Sweet Valley.
Humble greetings and salutations and a sweet, sweet valley high. Hi to all the sweeties out there. I'm Sweet Valley Jack.
I'm Tanner.
And we're the Sweet, Sweet Valley Boys. This week, we read Sweet Valley High number 4, Power Play.
Power Play. It's hockey.
It's a hockey this week.
It's a hockey one.
It's a hockey one. We're going to talk a lot about hockey. Tanner, we have a lot of work to do today.
Do we?
I'm going to tell you about Joan. I'm going to give a speech. You're going to sing to me. Then you're going to describe
Who's
this
Joan?
Book. Excuse me?
Who's Joan? Who's yeah, Joan? Yes,
that's a perfect question to ask for our first segment where I tell you about Joan.
Okay.
Okay,
and who's
great.
Joan?
I'm about to tell you about her.
Okay.
Okay, so we're now in the segment where I tell you about Joan. Okay, so last week.
Cusack.
Just wait and listen. Last
John
week,
Cusack's sister. Often
you could guess, or I could tell you.
Okay.
Last week, I went to the playground with Cyril, my son, my child.
Okay.
It was a, I think it was on the weekend. It was on Saturday morning.
Okay.
We went to the airplane playground. There's a, not to triangulate, but there's a playground near us that has a cool airplane, like a wooden airplane in it. And Cyril likes to sit in it. What are you looking at? You looking at me?
No, I was Googling. I think if I'm remembering correctly, in the town that I grew up in,
okay, perfect.
There was
I don't want that.
A strip club or an adult store called Adult Playground.
Okay, and I don't, I guess that's not, that wasn't, I'm looking at the agenda and I don't, it doesn't have anything on this agenda that I've carefully
well, I'm
and meticulously
to the
put
agenda,
together.
Buddy.
Okay, do you want to talk about, okay, how about this? I'm going to tell you about Joan. You could tell me about
Adult
Playground.
You tell me about
Playground.
Joan. I have nothing to say about Adult Playground.
Okay, great. Then I'm going to give a speech. So there's a lot of me and then there's a lot of you. Then you're going to sing to me. Then you're going to describe the book.
I'm not singing shit.
I think you probably are.
I didn't prepare a song.
Well, what happened to spontaneity, man?
Was I supposed to?
Just listen to me. Spontaneous. Ever heard of it? Listen to me. I want to tell you about Joan. I went to the playground near my... Stop. No, stop Googling and listen. I went...
I was looking up songs about hockey.
Don't! I went to your song isn't even until... You're not singing until after my speech. So you have plenty of fucking time.
Okay?
Just relax. Relax, man. I went to the playground Saturday morning. It was early. It was earlier than all the other dads and moms because I was the first person at the airplane playground. It's the playground that has like a...
Beat the rush.
It has an airplane in it. Yeah. Cyril and I got an airplane. We do a game where we get into the airplane and I say, where are you taking us? And he always says, to the dinosaur park. And then I say, what dinosaurs are we going to visit? And then he kind of tells us... Jurassic Park.
Jurassic Park, okay.
Yeah.
Because there's Marvel has the whole, like, wherever it's called, Forbidden World or whatever in Antarctica. Did you know that in the Marvel universe, there's an entire world of dinosaurs?
Oh, I didn't know that.
Buried underneath Antarctica?
That's interesting. Cyril would like to know about that. Did you know that most dinosaurs are from the Cretaceous period and not from the Jurassic period? That's something I learned from one of the shows that Cyril likes to watch.
No,
so why isn't it called Cretaceous Park? Why wouldn't you call
dinosaur
it Cretaceous
train?
Park? Yeah. anyway, so we were playing that game. And what did I see while I was sitting in the airplane, pretending to be a passenger?
Do you guys shoot
airplane?
Do you guys shoot the dinosaurs from the plane?
No, it's more like archaeology. It's not like we're like archaeology is the wrong thing because the idea is that they're alive. It's more like
biology.
We're going to look at them.
Yeah,
to be friends. It's like the dinosaur train. If you've seen Dinosaur Train, it's a show on PBS where the dinosaurs go on a train to visit each other.
I would want to be friends with you, just to be totally clear.
Well, in our world, in the world of our imagination, friends.
I think at the very least they would probably like ignore you.
And honestly, it never gets that far.
In most cases, they will probably eat you.
Because often we have turbulence on the plane.
Oh, shit. Well, that's not good for me. I don't like that game.
So while we were having turbulence on the plane,
I looked over
at, I don't know, some like fucking plants in the middle of the playground. I was bored. And what did I see? I saw a big box. There's just a box, a big cardboard box sitting in the sitting on the playground.
See something, say something.
See something, do something.
Call the police.
I went, so I left Cyril in the plane by himself.
Hurt Locker here.
And now it's the Hurt Locker.
Here comes Jeremy Renner.
I put on my fucking Jeremy Renner suit and started walking it like I don't know what's very slow, like quarter of a mile an hour. Just like insanely slow, like I'm trying to like walk on the moon towards the box. Jeremy Renner, very handsome.
Yeah.
And
Kathleen Kennedy.
I go to the box, and what does it say on the box?
Bomb?
No.
Okay.
It says free kitten. Free?
Oh yeah.
Kitten.
Freak kitten.
No, it says free kitten. And I was like, what could possibly be inside this box that says free kitten on
it? I got a guess.
And so I was like, what the hell?
Is this a prank? I've got a guess, but I'm also friends with you on social media, so I know.
So I open the box, and there's a kitten inside. And I was like, immediately close the box, like, fuck. What the fuck? And then so I sat there, and I just like – I like genuinely like had literally no idea what to do because I knew if I like played my cards wrong, like – like the train tracks are leading towards me having another cat almost, like there's like no other stops.
No,
unless I'm very careful with how I play this. So I like close the box and then I like open it again and I was like, nope, there's definitely still a kitten in
there. Do you not want another cat at this point?
I'm owed another cat because we have two cats and I have a rule that we can't be outnumbered by our animals. And when we decided to have a child, I said, if we're going to have a child, then I also get to have a cat.
And that was like 3 years ago.
Yeah, it was three years ago, but I've hesitated because I'm worried about like my cats getting along. Listen.
Okay.
So then Cyril like starts calling me from the airplane. He's like, Dad, like we're fucking flying to Jurassic Park.
These dinosaurs aren't going to shoot themselves.
These dinosaurs are not going to shoot themselves. Jeremy Renner yourself back over here and get in the fucking plane, Dad. And I was like sitting there just like genuinely in a panic, like totally did not know what to do.
Call animal control.
So I called Sarah a bunch of times because I was like, Sarah will know what to do. And she didn't answer. I think she was like getting in the shower. And so I called her like a bunch of times and then like texted her and was like, call me when you get this. And realized that like I just like gone out with her child. And that's like exactly not the sort of thing that you want.
Yeah. Jamie yells at me when I send her the messages.
Eventually, I figured out that I could bring the box with the kitten back to the plane and
you do that?
Because Cyril's
the
like,
worst option.
Cyril's freaking out. He's like, come to the
plane. But you could have just, here's the thing, you could have gotten out of the plane.
Yeah.
You could have spent some more time with your son. The cat's going nowhere. The cat's in a box, right?
I've now felt responsible.
And you could have just waited for some direction from someone who's more responsible.
A grown-up. I could have waited for a grown-up to show up. Well, so this is what happens next. I go to the plane, and then I sit in the plane, and now I've got the box, and Cyril's, like, you know, shooting dinosaurs and shit. And I'm just, like, sitting there, like, now there's a kitten in the fucking plane with us. And then some moms started to show up.
Okay.
And this is where...
Oh, you grabbed the cat because you didn't want the other moms to get the cat.
No, I just...
You wanted it to be your cat.
No, it's because now
you're
that...
You're angling from the very start, Jack.
That's not what it's about. It was like I felt now responsible for the cat, and I didn't want to let her out of my sight. Mm-hmm. So the moms start showing up, and they're like creeping onto the playground with their kids. And then suddenly I realized that like... I'm like creepy dad sitting in this airplane, which is for kids, with like a box that says free kitten on it. And like these nice moms are going to think that I'm like a creepy free kitten abandoner.
Oh, yeah.
So that became my new thing to panic about was like all these moms being like, okay, what is this fucking dude? He's like sitting in the airplane. I came to take my kids to the park, and like he's got like, he was like, we've caught him in the middle of abandoning this kitten. He's sitting here with a box. It says pre-kitten.
Now you have to play it off. Like, oh no.
What? What the hell?
It's not my free kitten. I mean, I guess it is now. I'm not abandoning the cat.
But so I had, so that was a thought I had. And then as the moms, like the kids, like the moms are like, they know to stay away from a like creepy old dad like me, but the kids want to get on the airplane. So the kids start kind of crowding the airplane. And eventually I was like, I'm going to have to just like give up this game. And so I like got out of the plane and, with the fucking box, the big box. And I was like, I think there's a kitten in this box.
To whom?
To the moms.
Did you say that?
And the moms were all like startled and like, okay. And I, my whole plan had totally backfired because now I definitely look like a creepy kitten abandoner. Yeah. And I was like, no, look, see? And so I like went around showing the moms this kitten in the box. And they're all like, okay, this is not like what I fucking bargained for.
Right. They thought you were going to try to pass the cat off onto them. Eventually, but I know for a fact that you took the cat home.
Sarah did call me back and she did come and pick me up. And then now I have a kitten and her name is Joan. And she's the light of my life. And I love her. And Jenkins loves her. And he plays with her. And he's so happy.
Jamie saw your Instagram or Facebook post about this, and she had an important question that I didn't have the answer to, but I suspect that I knew the answer to.
Yeah.
Which is, did Princess Cutieface die?
No.
And I said, no, Princess Cutieface is just a hermit.
Princess Cutieface, to answer your previous question, is like the main reason I haven't gotten another cat. It's because she's an old cantankerous lady, and I want her advancing her retirement as a cat.
You don't think filling her
no, I know her very well.
Twilight and days with the
no, she doesn't
love and joy of a baby cat.
No, she's taken it better than I expected. She's just like, every time the cat gets kitten gets near her, she's like, get the fuck out of my space, and we're, you and I are going to be fine. But I think that there is an upside that I didn't expect, which is that Joan and Jenkins are literally in love with each other. Like, he's a real mentor to her.
Right.
She really looks up to him and like learns a lot from him, and he like grooms her and plays with her, and it's beautiful. And that is actually good for the older cat, because Princess Cutieface is like, sweet, get Jenkins out of my fucking hair. I've never been interested in having another cat friend. And now they can be friends with each other, and I'm just like, I want to be excluded from this narrative, to quote Taylor Swift. Yeah.
That sounds right.
Yeah. Now I'm going to give a speech.
I have a question.
Okay. Yeah.
Can I ask some follow-up questions about Joe?
Yeah,
the cat?
I'm going to open it up for questions, and then I'm going to give a speech. Yeah.
Yeah. What happened? Why Joan?
So here's why. Here's the only reason I can tell you. I think it's funny to give cats like really normal human names, like Kevin or like Sandra.
Yeah.
And so Joan is the one that kind of came to me for this cat, and that's what's happened, and that's what stuck, and we liked it as a name.
Okay.
Joan Cusack. Would you prefer that?
It's based on Joan Cusack. That's just what I want you to hear.
Yeah. Yeah.
I don't know what you call this kind of cat.
Siamese. It's a purebred Siamese cat.
Yeah. That's what I was going to say. I just didn't know if that was still...
No, it's a thing.
It's a beautiful purebred Siamese cat.
Yeah.
It's probably worth a lot of money.
Yeah, it was probably a breeder abandoned.
It's a huge windfall.
It was probably a breeder abandoned. I want to talk about the abandonment because it's like a fucking bummer. I mean, it's happy. Like, it's also a double bummer because like whoever abandoned this cat, like their plan worked so perfectly. Like a vegan internet cat expert happened upon the playground like minutes after they left the box. You know?
Right. She's a cutie. I'm looking at a video of her right now on your Facebook page.
She's so cute, and she does indeed light up my life, and I love her.
I want a new kitten.
Yeah, you should get one. They're fucking great. Do you want to hear speech?
Yes, please.
I've been talking for a lot, so after I do the speech, you can sing to me, and then you can describe the book.
And I don't have a song prepared.
This week we read a novel. It was called Sweet Valley High Number 4, Power Play. And now I'm going to give a speech.
Okay.
Okay, I want to try to frame this in a helpful and a positive way, if I may.
Okay, okay.
Because, you know, we're just trying to have fun here, and I think there's a silver lining in
this.
Not
me. Not me. I'm going to work.
When I read these books, Tanner, in, I think, probably 1986, and I don't know if I read Power Play. I maybe did. I definitely read a few of the Sweet Valley High books. When I read them at the age of 7 or 8, I would have just internalized this stuff.
Okay.
This, like...
Which stuff?
Like...
The fat shaming?
The fat shaming. And it's a speech.
Okay.
Yeah.
No, sorry, there's no questions in there.
You can ask... I'll open it up for questions afterwards.
Yeah.
I would have just internalized it. And, like, I don't mean the fat shaming that the characters in this novel do unto each other, because that's, like, a choice you make for your characters. I mean the clear point of view of the author of this novel, which is, like, clearly stated above and beyond, like, through the eyes of all the characters and in, like, insofar as there is an omniscient narrator, like, through that. And the clear,
even like even in the private thoughts of some of the characters, which is something that only the writer, the author of this book would have access to.
Right. And the clear point of view of the author of this novel is that it is shameful and wrong and somehow remarkable to have a body that does not conform to some like fake standard of Sweet Valley High beauty, and that it's like not only that, but it's like. This is a book about someone called Robin. It's her, and it's her fault somehow, and there's something wrong with her, and it's something that has to be fixed. And I want to say beyond that I'm not here to take Kate and Francine down.
Okay.
It was the fucking 80s. We
were all like this in the 80s?
We got a lot of things wrong in the 80s.
This is Reagan's America, you know?
Yeah, Reaganomics. Superman 4, The Quest for Peace.
Yep.
Killing Optimus Prime.
In the second Transformers movie, or was it the first one?
I think it's the first one. Scott Baio.
Yeah, he's like a big Trump guy now.
We Are the World was bad in retrospect. That was a mistake.
Was it?
I think so.
I guess it's sort of a little tone deaf, right?
Or do they know it's Christmas? Also,
that
the 80s. There's just... Everybody was fucking things up left and right in the 80s, and so I'm not saying this to, like, clown on Francine. The thing that I am saying, and this is where I want to try to turn this to be a little bit hopeful.
Okay.
Is that you would never fucking get away with this shit today. Like, you could try it, but you're going to be fucking canceled. And I think that's...
I think we should just cancel Francine.
No, this is exactly the opposite of what I'm saying in my speech.
Francine,
I just think,
Kate,
no,
you're canceled.
That's not what I'm saying. We're not putting
Welcome
it on Francine. We're putting it on the 80s. I just think that
the Who.
It is nice to know, like, because I would have read this shit when I was a kid and just like taken it into my worldview, probably.
Oh yeah, absolutely.
And,
like, because there's no. The resolution of the novel is that, like,
she fucking loses the weight and it's like problem solved. It sucks. And I just think
she goes out to the track every day, every morning, and runs 5 miles.
Yeah.
And then starves herself at lunch.
So I'd like to apologize to everyone for the interruptions to my speech.
I will apologize too, because that's mostly been me.
Yeah, and they've been fairly enthusiastic, so it's not like heckling. But I do want to apologize because they have been interruptions.
And it wasn't much of a speech. It wasn't really structured like a speech.
Yeah, I wonder why. I wonder if it's because it kept getting interrupted. But I'd love to finish it.
Okay, please.
Yeah. I just want to say on a slightly hopeful note that it is nice to know that there is a generation of girls who are going probably to grow up to live on a melted planet that is run by a malicious artificial intelligence that was originally created by Facebook to optimize the click-through rate on display ads in about 20 years, and that they're going to have a lot of shit that they're going to have to fix, but at least they won't have to deal with getting fat shamed by Francine Pascal when they're just trying to relax with a book about teens backstabbing each other in the exclusive sorority that they, for some reason, have in their high school. And now I'd love for you to sing to me.
And again, I don't have a song prepared.
You didn't find anything heroic about what I said?
Jesus, did I find it heroic? I guess I did. I found it scary. Honestly, it worried me for my son.
The AI thing?
Yeah.
Okay.
And the melting planet thing. Like, you know, I think philosophically I know that, or like abstractly I know that. I shouldn't have brought a child into this world.
Yeah.
It's going to light on fire.
Yeah.
Spontaneously combust at some point in the next 10 years.
Mm-hmm.
But I did.
Yeah.
And now that's going to give me some anxiety. Now I'm not going to get any sleep tonight either.
Okay.
So, and I already did, I'm already working on no sleep.
I'll tell you this. I can't sing There Goes My Hero for myself.
There goes my hero. Watch him as he goes.
Thank you. And yeah. I'd take a hockey song, I guess, if you got one.
You know, I don't have one. Let me.
Do you want to describe the novel?
Hockey songs.
I don't think there's hockey songs, man.
I think okay, apparently Seven Nation Army is a hockey song, so.
I don't know.
I gotta watch it, babe! It's a Seven Nation Army, gonna get you, babe! I don't know the words.
I think, speaking of hockey, there's a thing that they're going to in this novel that's called the Disco Marathon. And then when it like kind of falls apart, they start calling it the Disco Disaster. For some reason, it made me think of, have you seen the movie Rollerball?
The new one or the old one?
There's a new one? Fuck. God, fuck my life. This is what I'm talking about. Like, the planet is melting and there's a new fucking Rollerball.
There's a 2002 Rollerball
that sucks.
With Chris Klein from American
Pie. Don't
Pi.
Want that. Yeah. No, I'm talking about the old one.
No, I haven't seen the old one. I have seen the new one.
It rules, man. But it's like, I don't know. It's like, what if hockey, but they kill each other?
That was sort of the 2002.
And roller skates.
I'm on the Wikipedia, the IMDb page for the 2002 Rollerball movie. And the tagline is, the big thing in 2005 is a violent sport which can have some pretty serious consequences, like dying.
Did I write
that? That's a great tagline, but also I love that they were like, let's set this movie 3 years in the future.
They're like, we're pretty
totally
close.
Totally attainable.
Yeah. We're pretty close to that. Good stuff. I'd love for you to describe this novel.
Okay.
I'm going to put 60 seconds on this big bad clock.
Okay.
You happy with that?
I don't care.
Come on. I did a speech. I told you about Joan.
I know.
Now it's your turn to shine.
Okay, fine. I'll do it.
Okay, I'm going to put 60 seconds on this big bad clock. During those 60 seconds, I would love for you to describe everything that happens in this novel. And, you know, it's a brutal novel in some ways, but there's some. It was kind of fun if you can just, like, carve out all the shitty ways that they treat this fucking poor girl.
I hate these books. They're so mean.
They're so mean.
They just make me feel bad.
All right, ready?
Yep.
In 5, 4... 3, 2, 1, go.
Liz has noticed that her twin sister Jessica is treating Robin Williams poorly. That can't be the name.
It is. It's Robin Wilson.
Robin Wilson poorly and making her do all her errands and stuff. And that's because Robin has been promised that she will get a nomination for the Pi Beta sorority, high school sorority. Liz says, you know what? Fuck Jessica. I'm going to nominate you. She goes to Pi Beta and she says, I nominate Jessica Wilson, Robin Wilson. And everyone's like, you can't do that. She's fat. And she's like, well, I'm going to do it anyway. And Jess is like, okay, well, I'm going to make her induction impossible. She's going to have to run 5 miles and she's going to have to get a date with Bruce Pac-Man. And Liz coaches her through those things, and then Jessica ends up blackballing her anyway and not letting her in, so she becomes depressive and then loses a ton of weight, and then Bruce Pac-Man wants to date her. Also, Lila Fowler keeps stealing things.
And time. Yeah, that's the B plot, is that Lila Fowler is shoplifting for some reason. Oh, she. The moral of the story...
Because she loves her dad.
...is like, shoplifting could be good.
Shoplifting can really improve your life.
The moral of the B plot is that. The moral of the A plot is like too horrific to even really describe. I think listeners will get a sense of it from what we've already said. But it's like, don't be happy in the body that you have, and like work hard to change yourself and win the approval of your shitty, fucking worthless peers. Yeah. And then like
disappear for 5 weeks, enter a fugue state. And come back and look sexy.
This book
and
made
everyone
me
will respect you.
Fucking mad, man. Listen to this. This is Elizabeth at the end of the novel. Little by little, Elizabeth began to feel that she and Robin were becoming close friends. Somehow, through adversity, a strong bond of friendship had sprung up, grown, and deepened. It's like, yeah, Elizabeth, now fucking Robin like fits in your fucking club. Before, she was just like a fucking charity case to you, you fucking asshole.
Oh, yeah. They're both shitty to Robin.
Like, they both like,
Jess is
neither of them get
awful,
off the hook for this. Yeah.
But, like, Liz is pretty awful, too. And, like, Liz, like, tricks Robin into this plot to, like, conquer all of Jess's challenges for her.
Yeah.
And, you know, like blackmails Bruce Pac-Man into going on a date with her, which
Bruce Pac-Man continues to amaze and impress in this novel. He's pretty funny.
Bruce Pac-Man, I'm weirdly forming like an odd respect for him just because I feel like he's so removed from the real world. Like he's just like, he's like a god. He's like floating above everything. You know, he's just like, he's weirdly like intelligent and aware, you know? Which you don't expect from a character like this, but he knows exactly what's going on, you know?
Yeah.
And he just, like, doesn't give a
shit. He's just, like, he's cool about shit. Like, he takes Robin to the prom because, to the rollerball thing.
Right,
Because Elizabeth, like, I don't know, says she'll write a fucking column about him.
About his tennis skills.
And then he's, like, super shitty to her, and he's like, okay, I took you, now, like, I'm gonna fucking, like, publicly humiliate you in front of everybody. And then, like, she loses a bunch of weight, and he's, like, a puppy dog.
Yeah. And then she embarrasses him at the very end of the... Yeah. Because there's, like, yet another, like, teen royalty thing.
Yeah.
They're like, now we're all competing to see who the queen of the football dance is.
Yeah, this is the interaction they have. Oh, yeah, the football dance. It's just like nonstop in Sweet Valley, man. It's like, okay.
Jess is like, I'm already the queen of the fall dance.
Jessica's the queen of the fall dance. Now she's got to be like the fucking win the disco marathon. And then now she's got to be the football queen. That's the title, football queen. She's like, I've got to have it. And then Bruce Pac-Man is like suddenly excited by the new Robin. Yeah. She's like wearing makeup and shit. And she's like got this like ice queen cool attitude. And the following exchange happens. On Monday, Robin showed up in designer jeans. That she's like wearing Jordache now. So like
they
that's
never
really
stop talking about Jordaches. They honestly like you could do a command F and go search for Jordache and it appears like 10 times.
It was making me think about the 80s because like I was wearing sweatpants when I read these books. So I didn't know jeans from jeans. And then when I did get
you know what I was wearing? Diapers, am I right?
Okay, that's true. When I did start wearing jeans, I wore Bugle Boy.
Right, that's not cool.
But I'm now, and I thought it was cool, but I'm now starting to think that it was like staring me right in the face, and I should have worn Jordache, and I really missed a trick, and it kind of like, it was like one of those like, those forks in the road, and if I picked Jordache, I could be the fucking football queen.
You would
right
be
now.
Bruce Pac-Man right now exactly. If you were wearing Jordaches. Now, but look at you. Look who you are.
Here's the exchange. On Monday, Robin showed up in designer jeans, a rainbow top, and a new hairstyle. Lip gloss and perfect eye makeup created an effect that almost caused Bruce Pac-Man to walk into the gym door. Who was that? He gasped. She just moved here from Mars, said Elizabeth, who'd witnessed his near accident. We call her Wrecker Wilson. Boy, she can wreck me anytime, Bruce said.
Yeah.
Wow, what a beauty. Awesome.
That's good.
I don't like anyone in this book, but Bruce Pac-Man at least like is speaking his fucking truth, man.
Yeah. At the end of the book though, Robin Wilson gets one over on him because she wins the queen of the football dance.
Oh yeah, over Jessica. It was the closest
vote
in history. She's
declared queen of the football.
Yeah.
And then she's meant to do a speech and do a promenade.
Yeah.
Around the field in a limo.
Yeah.
And she does her little speech and she says, "Bruce Pac-Man, will you please come escort me on my promenade in your Porsche?" And he's like, "Yeah, babe, totally."
Yeah.
And then she cuckolds him by asking Alan something the like nerdy reporter for the Stony Brook Oracle,
Alan Walters,
to accompany her in the back of Bruce's black Porsche.
Yeah, they kind of fall for each other a little bit during the catastrophe.
He's very sweet to her.
Disco marathon. He's very sweet to her. They dance after Bruce Pac-Man embarrasses her at the disco marathon. Alan kind of like awkwardly tries to comfort her, and then they end up doing the following kind of dance, which I thought was very interesting insight into Alan Walters. And then she was in Alan's arms and they were dancing, if it could be called that. He seemed to want to turn in only one direction, so they were constantly spinning backward. Robin glanced at him, and his face was red and grim. I just found that like very relatable and also like interestingly weird. He's just like, he can only go left, and he's just like spinning backwards, like counterclockwise.
I'm not much of a dancer, but one of my moves is just sort of like slowly walking backwards.
Yeah.
You know? And I imagine if you're dancing with me, you would just then have to like sort of slowly walk backwards across the dance floor with me.
I the only dancing I ever did was at like raves and shit. And so then when I would be at like weddings or like fucking like,
you pull out the orb.
Basically, and it's just like in retrospect, it's like so fucking cringy. Because I didn't know how to dance. You know, it'd be like, I went to a wedding of this girl that I was like maybe kind of dating, her sister.
Okay.
And I had to like dance with her, and it was like a fucking thing. And like in retrospect, I probably did like a big rave dance, you know. And,
oh
like,
sure, yeah, yeah.
Did like the liquid ball, and like it was like jumping around. Ball,
you had the pacifier, you know? In your mouth,
and it's like fucking.
Which I think makes your high more intense.
You be 40 doing that, like I had the time of my life, you know, like.
Yeah, good. I think that's fine.
Yeah.
Like, what more could you want?
Yeah, it was a real catch in the fucking early aughts. I think we should probably take a quick break and come back and talk about this. I enjoyed the book. It was fun. It's like fucked up, but it was fun. I have some fun things to say about it.
Okay, I'm going to go potty, and then I'm
excited. Okay, that's fine. As a reminder, you don't actually have to say that, but we could just be kind of professionally be like, all right, well, let's take a quick break and we'll come back.
Okay, I'm going to go, like, have a port.
Okay.
Like a small glass of port.
That sounds nice. Perfect.
Is that more professional?
Yeah, that's great.
Okay.
Okay, bye.
Bye.
It's Jack again with a brand new update about the delightful family mystery mobile game, June's Journey. I have been making real progress solving puzzles and getting stuff to put on my cool estate in the fun world of mystery, danger, and romance that's conjured up by June's Journey, a game set in the roaring 20s about a daring young woman named June who's traveling to her sister's estate to uncover scandalous family secrets and customizing her own luxurious estate island in the process. Tanner, unfortunately, is still pretty convinced by the ad brief we were sent that he has actually been assigned on a real secret mission to uncover the killer of June's sister, Claire. The good news is that after some extremely frustrating conversations with the unbelievably patient people at the Central Connecticut Steamship Authority, I was able to clear up the fracas regarding the steamship that Tanner rented. But the bad news is that, if I'm reading this hastily scrawled missive correctly, he appears to have gotten himself horribly lost in a hedge maze in Würzburg, which I think is in Germany. According to the secret code on the back of the letter, which, to be clear, he's just written this part upside down, he is in good spirits and he is hot on the tail of Grandma Heath, and I shouldn't worry, but could I please send him 40 ducats in an unmarked envelope so that he can bribe the butler, which sounds both complicated and questionably legal. I'm going to keep you guys posted on this, but in the meantime, you can discover your inner detective just like I have when you download June's Journey for free today on iOS and Android. I have to go. There is apparently a carrier pigeon at the door with a new message from Tanner.
Oh, there she is. Hello, Joan. I'm your Uncle Tanner.
Look how small she is. You know what she does all the time is she does that that meme that's like a cat doing Neil deGrasse Tyson.
What?
You know, it's like the meme where the cat like puts her little hands up like, what?
Oh, yeah.
Isn't she pretty good? She's pretty good, right?
I asked Jamie if we could get a kitten and she said no.
Come on. Do you hear this? You want to hear her? Yeah. Do you hear her?
Yeah.
Yeah. She's.
Jamie said no. She said Miles might accidentally kill it.
That's not, what the fuck is wrong with Miles, man?
He does a thing where
he's like Lenny from Of Mice and Men.
Sort of. He does a thing where if you tell him not to do something, he'll look you in the eyes and get this little grin, like, and then he'll do it.
Miles, you're not going to kill the kitten, are you?
That's Jamie's exact example. Is like he would just grab her around the neck and kill her.
No, he would not.
Just today, yeah. We were eating. And this is Dad talk. We were eating dinner together, all of us. We were having macaroni and cheese with broccoli in it.
Yeah,
an adult meal.
Yeah,
and we had big adult ceramic bowls from Crate and Barrel.
Yeah,
and Miles had a baby bowl.
Yeah, that's cute.
And he was upset that he had a baby bowl and we had big ceramic bowls from Crate and Barrel. So we got him a ceramic bowl from Crate and Barrel. And then like Thor at the end of the meal, he was like, all done, and just picked up the bowl and just threw it off the table and smashed it on the ground.
I love it. I love it. What a hero. That's really good.
So now we have to go to Crate and Barrel and buy a new bowl.
Wow, that's really lovely. And I guess my story about the kitten was actually about my child as well. So, and the kitten is Cyril's kitten. I told him that it's his kitten. And at night he says, I said, you want to say goodnight to Joan? And he goes and gives her a big hug.
Oh, that's nice. And he doesn't accidentally kill her in the process.
No,
right?
And he doesn't. Yeah.
Okay, that's good.
And this has been Death Talk. All right, Joan, you're going to have to leave because you're meowing really
loud. Joan, you're so loud.
You can go. Okay, we've got a novel to talk about. We're professional podcasters, and we talk about a novel professionally, and that's what we're doing here. So let's dive into it. You want to talk about the witches?
Okay. Yeah, sure. I didn't... I'm looking through my notes. I didn't catch witches.
Elizabeth looked down at the tiled floor thoughtfully, then made a quick decision. You know something, Robin? Todd and I and Enid and her boyfriend George are going to the beach on Saturday. We always play volleyball. You can be on our team, okay? This is part of like the Phi Beta whatever group. Like make Joan do – Joan, LOL. Make Robin do
– Oh, did you haze Joan?
Yeah, no, we've been hazing her.
Yeah, okay.
Make Robin do a bunch of like really unpleasant tasks that are designed to like make her feel uncomfortable in her body. And one of them is like wearing a bikini at the beach.
Oh, right. To do volleyball. Yeah.
We always play volleyball. You can be on our team. Okay. Really? The look of thanks on Robin's tear-stained face was almost too much for Elizabeth to bear. Really? We'll pick you up. Maybe it'll rain. It won't rain, Robin. We'll have a good time. And, thought Elizabeth, so will three witches I know.
Oh, interesting. Huh.
So I, in my mind, I'm thinking Macbeth. Just off the top of my head, I'm thinking Macbeth.
Toil.
Toil and trouble. Yeah. You know, and that's like, you know, it's like overweening pride, right? I could be Jessica or it could be Elizabeth here. It's like they're like trying to become the fucking big king or queen. And the first thing that they're going to have to encounter on their like on their road towards ruination through ambition is three witches. And so that's going to be hopefully in the next book.
Right. I don't think.
Next one's called All Night Long.
Okay. And that's something
And witches do come out at night.
That is true. The witching hour is what it's called. Mm-hmm. Something that Francine does at the end of every book, sort of her happy reading, is she kind of sets every book up with a cliffhanger and then says, will Elizabeth encounter three witches in the night?
Yeah.
Find out more in All Night Long.
Yeah.
But except this one was about Jess dating a older boy, a college
boy. And the witches are going to be like, you're going to be fine until Burnham Wood comes to Dunsinane.
And this is Macbeth.
Nobody will be able to harm you who is of woman born.
Right. I am no man, and then she stabs the Witch King in the face.
And then she stabs the Witch King of Angmar in the face, and that's all from Macbeth. And you guys should read it. And then the other thing I thought of was the Grey Eye, of course. which we've talked about before. They pass the eyeball. It's three witches, from, and they pass Perseus kind of has
Disney's
to
Hercules.
Has to borrow their eye. It's not from Disney's Hercules.
I think it is.
But I don't know.
From here to zero, just like that.
You know that song? I haven't seen it. I don't.
The Greek chorus is these like three ladies, and they sing kind of the plot of the film.
There's a lot of ancient Greek in this book. There's like a surprising amount of ancient Greek in this book.
Is there?
Did you? Okay, let me read you this passage. Fine. In fact, super. Do you remember when we had to read the Iliad? Said Robin. Remember the part where the Greeks and Trojans came under the spell of one of the gods? Excuse me, Elizabeth stammered, wondering if Robin really was falling apart. You should read it over again, Robin said. Especially the part where the person comes out of the spell and finally sees clearly.
Okay.
What the fuck? I was not completely blindsided by the Iliad reference in this novel.
That's just Francine showing off. She's like, yeah, I read the Iliad.
But there's another one. You ready for it? Did you expect to win? She asked. And this is when... Robin wins the football queen. Also, this is another thing that Francine does. Robin is like a completely different person at the end of this book. Like she acts, it's not like she's like grown or changed in any way. She just like has been substituted.
Right.
As a different person. She's like cool and like unflappable. Did you expect to win? She asked. No, not really. If you never expect too much, you'll never be disappointed. Do you have anything to tell the student body? Robin searched the sky for a moment. Only something we all know. But don't always remember. Know yourself. And don't try to be anyone else.
Moving.
And know yourself, nothisauton, is a famous Greek aphorism.
Aphorism. Who said it?
It comes up in Plato to some extent, but to my understanding is that it's just like a thing that Greeks used to say to each other kind of when they were shooting the shit.
What does it mean? It's like check yourself?
It means know yourself, know thyself. Okay. Gnothi, it's the imperative form of the verb that means know.
Shh, 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 shh.
No, okay. You literally asked me what it means.
I didn't think you were going to teach me ancient Greek.
Okay. So there's a lot of that stuff. Oh, fuck. I haven't been recording, but I've got it on the Zoom. Hey, guess what? Hopefully my audio sounds better now because I'm recording.
Hey, welcome back to the podcast, yeah. Jack.
Yeah.
Jesus Christ, been doing this for 6 years, still can't even record a damn podcast. Are you recording now?
Yeah, no, I'm going, I'm kicking ass. So what you heard before was, it's me, but...
Raw.
But raw, that's raw, what I really sound like. What else shall we say?
I can give
say?
You my compliment of the week if you want it.
Do you want me to compliment you?
No, I was going to give you my compliment of the week.
All right, yeah. So you're going to give me a compliment. I'd love that. Tell me.
It's not a compliment.
Because I got a haircut. I went to an actual hairdresser for the first time in a year.
You know what I'll say about your hair?
Yeah, looks great.
It's looking good. What's your shirt say? Team Blue?
Team Blue. It's from...
Labatt Blue?
I have a complicated relationship with the shirt. Can I say it? It's like very personal.
Yeah.
There was a time in our...
I'm going to text Josh while you're talking.
I'm literally telling you something extremely personal. Forget it.
Okay, go ahead. No. Tell me about your shirt. Team Blue.
There was a... we were at Major Media Company for a really long time. And after a time, Major Media Company... Are you texting Josh? You're literally texting Josh. I can fucking see it. Fuck you. I'm not telling you the story. No.
No, tell me.
No, it's done. Tell me. No, you had two chances and you don't get a third.
Tell me. I was telling Josh to leave me alone because I'm listening to a story from my best friend.
We were, you know this. We were at Major Media for a long time. Very long time. We were amongst the earliest employees of Major Media Company. At some point, as I think happens... with these things, when Major Media Company became a big Major Media Company, they got tired of my bullshit and they were like, hey,
yeah, mine too.
Why don't you stop doing the thing that you're doing and either go away or, you know, hopefully leave, but if not, like, just find something
tuck
else
you away
to do.
Somewhere.
And so what I ended up on was a thing that was called Team Blue, and they like made t-shirts.
What was Team Blue? I don't remember this.
And it, I've never felt like I fit in on Team Blue at all. And I felt alienated and sad. And I wear this t-shirt as a reminder to myself that sometimes you should just fucking leave the company.
Yeah.
Anyway, that's my story. What's,
we both did leave the company, yeah, and now yeah, we're much did. Happier.
Yeah. Well, what's your story?
Well, I don't have a story.
You were saying something. You were literally saying something.
Oh, compliment of the week.
Yeah.
Can I do my compliment of the week?
Mm-hmm. I'll hear it. It's, what, I thought it wasn't the thing about my hair.
Oh, so let me tell you about your hair, if I may. Yeah. Be so bold.
Yeah.
Your hair looks good right now.
Thank you. Yeah. Thank
there
you.
Was a time a few years ago where I came to visit you in Austin, and you had made the choice to buzz your hair down to stubble.
Mm-hmm.
And that looked great, and you've never returned to that look again. And I'm curious why. You're not ready yet. You're not ready to admit it yet.
No, I don't know why. I don't know why. It looked
surprisingly good on you.
I'm ready to go back there. I'll go back there. I'll go back there anytime. But I
remember
that,
being like, this is a desperate move. A lot of the times, this is a desperate move. But like Jack manages to pull it off in a way that's. Frankly surprised.
That's very nice, and that is a compliment of the week. Here's what I'll say in the spirit of this book, which like fails to live up to people dealing with like not liking the way they look.
Yeah,
completely, categorically fails to do that. What I will say about my own journey there is that I needed to shave my head to get back to a place where I felt comfortable with the way that I looked after some time of being extremely embarrassed about going bald, which is a thing that like men don't have any space to talk about.
Yeah.
It's just like, it's just like not a thing that you can talk about, but it's like everybody else thinks about it and you just have to kind of like suffer in weird silence for it and then like listen to like Joe Rogan selling you like fake like bald fixing pills or whatever and then just feel bad about yourself. I don't listen to Joe Rogan, but I read an article about him today. but what my journey there was, I got to a place where I felt good with a shaved head.
Yeah.
And then I was like, okay, well, I can always go back here if I need to. And now I'm going to go back to like my like Matrix version of myself, which is not with a shaved head.
Right.
And I'm now more comfortable as a man who is balding, but doesn't have a shaved head.
I think most people, and I don't want to jerk you off or anything, but
yeah,
I think
it's fine.
Most people passing you on the street wouldn't look at you and say, that's a balding man. I would say most people looking at you would say, like, that's a man with thinning hair.
You think most people passing me on the street, the thing that they would say is, that's a man with thinning hair. That's what they would say.
Most people would stop.
And they'd be like, what's Team Blue?
Look you up and down and be like, that man's got some thinning hair. That man. Yeah.
Yeah.
Let's go back to the shaved head. It looked great. Yeah. I'll shave my head if you shave your head. I don't need to.
We promised.
Look at this.
Promised our listeners we would get matching tattoos.
Yeah, I know. Why don't we do it?
Yeah, let's do it. All right, we're going to get matching tattoos and we're going to shave our heads. Tanner, I'd like to hear the compliment of the week. I loved your compliment of the week from my hair. I'd love to hear the compliment of the week that you found in this novel.
The thing about being the football queen is that you need to do a lot of campaigning. In the lead up to the big football game where you were declared football queen.
Yeah.
Usually the Phi Beta, I don't remember what their actual like Greek alphabet letters are.
I can never remember either. It's Phi Beta something. Delta?
The Phi Beta.
I wish Marissa was here. Marissa, I'm sorry.
Control this contest.
Yeah.
It's always a Phi Beta. The Phi Betas like put a lot of money and resources into campaigning. So it seems like Jessica Wakefield is going to be the shoe-in for this, but there's this new like black horse who's entered the dark horse. A new dark horse who's entered the competition.
Yeah.
And she's doing it with these sort of guerrilla tactics. So, Robin Wilson puts up a sign that says like,
fucking rules.
It essentially, I don't know if I captured the sign. Did you?
I don't, but I remember what it was. It's a sign that says, challenge accepted. Okay, yeah.
Yeah, it says, challenge accepted. It has come to my attention that members of Pi Beta Alpha have forbidden any girl who is not a member to go out for Miss Sweet Valley High. I know all about the PBAs. They blackballed me. I accept their challenge. I ask for your vote.
It rules.
Robin Wilson.
It fucking owns.
And it works.
And it's fake. They didn't put that about. Like, all of the PBAs who blackballed her, it was only Jessica who blackballed her, but they all suck. Like, right. They're all like, we never did this. We have never said that. But it's like, it's enough to, like, create this grassroots campaign
right.
against the
PBAs. So she starts to get a little bit of buzz around her, too.
Yeah.
Like, because previously Jessica was like the shoo-in, like,
yeah,
the boys, there's some implication that she's like sleeps with everyone on the
she sleeps with only first
football
team.
Only
first team, she says.
And only the offensive line.
She says only
Robin
the offense, yeah,
wins, like, enchants the defensive line and it becomes like a civil war in the gladiators.
Yeah. Yeah, you can't stay mad at these books.
Yeah. So yeah, everyone shows their support for the girl that they want to be the god. This is not the high school I went to, and if this was the high school I went to, I would not be, a featured character in these books. I would be the sulky, angry nerd kid who's like, "What the hell is going on?
Why is this school?" Yeah.
But anyway, Robin wins a lot of hearts and minds. Right up until the ballot boxes were closed at the end of school on Friday, kids chanted and rallied for their favorites. The Gladiators' offensive line and backfield paraded through the lunchroom carrying a big banner, "Jessica is just right." It's sort of a faint praise.
Yeah.
The defensive line came through the auditorium with a huge placard, and this is my compliment of the week.
Yeah.
"Robin has us throbbing." And what I like about that is it's implying that she's making them.
It's penis related, I think.
They're saying she makes them horny. Mm-hmm. The entire defensive line of the Stony Brook Gladiators.
Yeah, is throbbing for Robin.
Sweet Valley. Yeah, throbbing for Robin. That's good wordplay. That's my compliment of the week. Yeah,
I loved it.
Yeah.
Should we go right into Burn of the Week?
I guess so.
Yeah, why not? Did you have one?
Yeah. You want me to do mine?
Yeah, I captured two technically. So, okay. Yeah, you can do yours.
Bruce, listen. What if somebody did you a good deed? Would it make sense for you to do the other person a good deed in return? Well, maybe. Depends on what it is. Just suppose that someone wrote a story about you in the Oracle. Bruce smiled. About being first singles and how I creamed that hotshot from Palisades High? Yes, about that too. And maybe about how John McEnroe was looking over his shoulder? It was definitely give me strength time. So my burn is on John McEnroe. Because this high school guy... Really,
yeah, it's got him looking over his shoulder. You cannot be serious, Bruce.
Is that what he said?
That's probably what he would have said.
Little tennis racket down. And my burn is on Bruce, too, because Liz has this new line.
Yeah.
Which is give me strength.
Give me strength time. Oh, shit, it's give me strength time. Oh, so soon in our conversation. Yeah, that's good. I've got a burn from that same... conversation, and then I'd love to hit you with a second burn.
Okay.
So the conversation is that, like, Liz is trying to persuade Bruce to Pac-Man to take Robin to the dance so she can fulfill some stupid fucking Phi Beta Delta pledge.
Right.
"Helping some fortunate freshman not make the team, I see," said the beautiful Wakefield twin, and Bruce knew at once that it wasn't Jessica. "Hi, Liz." He glanced at the freshman, who was chasing down the ball that had whistled past him into the far corner. "Too bad," Bruce said. "Looks like he hasn't got what it takes." He strolled up to the wire fence around the court, brushing back his dark hair as he walked. "So, Liz, how's the newspaper going?" "Okay." "Say, when is the Oracle going to do a decent story on the star of the varsity tennis team?" "Who would that be?" Elizabeth asked. That's funny.
Yeah, Liz really like gives Bruce a run for his money. Because like, then she's like, "Oh well, I will write about your stupid tennis career if you take Robin Wilson to the dance." And he's like, "No." And she's like, "Okay, Who's the second best player?
Yeah. See, he hasn't lost a game.
Sweet Valley. Because then maybe I'll just write about him instead. Yeah. And he's like, okay, I'll do it. We haven't even touched Lila Fowler. Or you have a second burn.
I've got a second burn. It's real fast. Yeah. Ready? Yeah. This is just like a random interaction between Elizabeth and Jessica at home. What do you think it takes to be a novelist? Elizabeth asked Jessica when her sister later came into her room carrying an armload of clothes. Elizabeth, please stop talking nonsense and help me.
There's like even further in that tirade that Jessica goes on,
yeah.
She's like, I need to know like what is wrong with you that you're not curious about my predicament and
yeah.
instead you're having these like impossible fantasies about being a novelist.
Yeah. That's good.
So she's really quickly made up her mind. The B plot in this film is that Lila Fowler, the yeah. richest
girl
teen girl in all of Sweet Valley, and you and I are going to have to really work yeah. hard to train ourselves not to say Stony Brook.
Yeah.
Has decided to become a petty thief.
Yeah. To get
a petty shoplifter.
Her dad's attention. Yeah.
Yeah. So Jess keeps showing up in all these beautiful.
It's not even a petty thief. It's grand larceny. She's stealing like $600 jewelry.
Does that pass the line?
I think it's not petty theft larceny? Anymore. She's stealing extremely expensive shit. Mm. She is like, if this were in Stony Brook, this would be a Babysitter's
a crime
Club mistress. Like,
right,
like
yeah.
this level of shoplifting would be.
It
like,
would be someone like.
The mystery
truly
of the
nefarious.
Stolen jewels. And it's like, oh, it was like fucking Lila Fowler. And she was like trying to impress her daddy or whatever. But like it rises to the level of a Babysitter's Club mystery because these jewels are, you know, fucking $1,000 jewels.
For the rest yeah. of her life.
Yeah. yeah. And yeah.
And she Throw keeps giving the shit to Jess.
She keeps giving it to Jessica, which is weird. Well, it's like meaningless to her. She's literally the richest girl in Sweet Valley.
Right, she doesn't do it because she wants or needs this stuff. She does it because she wants and needs her daddy.
She doesn't even, like, it's not even, like, to play psychiatrist for a second, it's not even far enough below the surface that, like, when Elizabeth is like, are you doing this because you want your daddy to notice you? She's like, yeah, no, I think that's what it is.
Right, that's exactly what it is.
That's exactly yeah. what it is, huh? Yeah, no, you're right, now that I think about it. Yeah, that must
she
be
also,
why
like,
I'm doing it.
I think they make the point of saying that she starts to dress in wilder clothes because
yeah.
I think she desperately wants to get caught.
Like, yeah. Yeah,
she wants
to be caught.
Everyone to know that, oh, now Lila Fowler's wearing wild clothes, and if you
yeah.
happen to see someone at the mall stealing
yeah.
bracelets
shoplifting and shit.
From the jewelry store and they're wearing wild clothes, that's definitely me. So yeah, that's her thing. And of course, there's no consequences. Daddy bails her out. She just doesn't get in any trouble at all whatsoever. And in fact, her dad's not even mad at her. In fact, it sort of strengthens their relationship, if anything. So
yeah, so
it's just one of those Francine Pascal things where it's like, yeah. go ahead, shame fat people.
Yeah,
they deserve it. That's sort of Francine's
that's
stance.
Her message.
And
yeah.
then also, like, if you're rich enough
is
white
fine.
Enough.
Yeah,
yeah. Shoplifting is totally fine. There will be no consequences. And way to set up an entire generation of young women, Francine.
Yeah, good job, Francine.
Good job.
I did enjoy reading this novel, but also I have some criticisms. I wonder if we should go. I have a lot more notes.
Oh, well, hit me with at least one more. I'm curious to kind of get inside your mind, like the cell.
Okay,
what's the cell?
No, I'm going to run down the shit for you.
You didn't watch The Cell?
No, I didn't watch The Cell.
Give it a watch. It's pretty good. It's pretty weird. It's Jennifer Lopez plays like a thought detective, and she gets into the mind of more water, sugar water guy.
Vincent D'Onofrio.
Serial killer, yeah.
Okay, perfect. So we don't have time to talk about that.
You sure?
I can sense you kind of being like, oh, yeah, okay, we have time for one more thing from you, and I want to get into your mind, and then
let's talk
you're
about the
Googling
cell
the cell.
A little bit. Oh, no, I don't need to Google it. No Googling required.
You know what movie does come up in this novel is, listen to this. Elizabeth sat in the Oracle office trying to figure out what snappy news items she could include in her column. About the only important thing going on at Sweet Valley High was the approaching football grudge game against Palisades High.
That's not a movie.
The Grudge is not a movie?
Oh,
was
Grudge.
Sarah Michelle Gellar?
Oh, you mean the American version. Sorry, I've only seen the Japanese version.
But that's cool. That's something that Francine buried the lead on. They're doing the fucking Grudge?
They're doing the Grudge.
That's scary as hell.
It's a Grudge-themed football game.
Yeah.
Which is interesting.
Do you want to hear my thing real fast, and then we do have to go?
Yeah.
I think it's been so long since we did our first Sweet Valley Boys a year ago that I don't remember if we talked about this. I mean, I know we did in some capacity, but I want to read you two passages from that first Sweet Valley book and then a few passages from this book, and then we can just quickly weigh in on it.
Okay.
Here are the passages from Sweet Valley High number one. I told him, Liz. I told him everything. I told him that it was me with Rick Andover at Kelly's, and he still invited me to the dance. You told him, Jess? He knows it wasn't me. I told him everything, and he forgave me. He has got to be the most wonderful boy in 137 states.
Oh, is this going to be your point that Jess has a whole thing around 37?
Yeah.
She says it several times in this book.
Yeah. She says it multiple times in this book.
Yeah.
Oh, my head is going to burst into at least 537 pieces?
Right. It's often 537, but it's definitely always 37.
I told her 837 times that blimps were not popular people. Nothing but the usual 137 disasters and boring business and politics, she said. Oh, Liz, that nonsense is about 737th on my list of concerns. Tanner, here's all I have. 537, which is the one that comes up most commonly. 537, I looked it up on Wikipedia, is the
Nate Silver
established... It's Nate Silver minus one.
Okay.
But that's not what I want to talk about.
What
that's
state
one
has
thing.
One electoral vote? It's probably like Montana.
What's Nate Silver minus one? No, it's probably one of the congressional districts in Maine.
Oh, okay.
Right. Or Nebraska. 537 is the year of the deaths of both Mordred, who is England's most wicked and overly dramatic backstabber, and Arthur, England's insufferable goody-two-shoes prom king. From myth.
Mist?
Myth.
Okay.
So that's all I've got on 537. That is the year that Arthur and Mordred died.
Okay. Who's Arthur and Mordred?
Did those descriptions of those men remind you of anything?
No.
England's most wicked, overly dramatic backstabber, Mordred, Arthur's nephew, who betrayed him.
Mm-hmm.
And Arthur himself, England's most insufferable, goody-two-shoes,
oh, it's,
prom king, king.
Elizabeth and...
Isn't that Jessica. Interesting? Isn't that interesting? Yeah. That those are the two guys who died in the year 537,
and
according to Wikipedia.
It resonates through time, and it's ripples. Yeah. It's ripples through time, and it's Atlas... Not Atlas Shrugged, it's the other one.
I've got another thing. I've got another thing. Can I say it?
Atlas.
I will not talk about Ayn Rand with you under any circumstances.
It's not Ayn Rand.
Okay.
The other one.
What do you mean by the other one?
God, you want me to Google it, don't you?
No, okay, I don't.
You twisted my arm.
I want to say another thing to you. I'm going to send you a link. I'm going to send you a link, then we fucking have to go. You have 1 second left to tell me.
Cloud Atlas.
Cloud Atlas. Okay, that's so different from Ayn Rand.
No, I know, and I wasn't trying to bring up Ayn Rand. You
it's
brought
like
that.
That
up.
It is like that. But so actually, Cloud Atlas is relevant to this passage. So the first passage where Jessica says 537 is as follows. Guess who called? Elizabeth smiled at her sister. Robin, our new pledge, who, by the way, is going to the dance with Bruce Pac-Man tonight. Oh, Liz, will you please shut up about it? So you know that our Pi Beta pledge has landed such a coveted date? Oh, my head is going to burst into at least 537 pieces, Jessica raged. How could such an incredible thing happen? It's like science fiction. So I looked up 537 in science fiction, and I've texted this to you.
Madrax, Fufunta, Sieb, Dreitzen, Sieben.
Wow, that was pretty good for somebody who sucks at German.
Science fiction, Siri, die
Bestienmacher. I think it's the Beast Fighter, the Monster Fighter.
And it's the German edition.
Yep. Shall I put this through Google? So there's a science fiction novel. So what Francine has done for us is she's given us the number 537, and she's said that it's from science fiction. And the only Google result for that is something called Madrax 537. It's a science fiction series. It's got 5 stars on Amazon. It's only 4 ratings, but, you know.
Right. It's got 4.5 stars.
I'm going to throw... Okay, fine. It's 4.5 stars. I'm going to throw this into Google Translate. Yeah, we'll probably do it for our next book.
Well, look at this. It says here, Kindle price, $1.99. Your credits, minus $1.99. I don't know what that means. I don't think I have Kindle credits. So I'm paying $0 for this.
I've thrown this into Google Translate. I'm going to read you the plot of this.
Okay.
The companions are stranded in Ogden.
Maine?
Someone stole the trilithium crystal from the riverside. That sounds like something from Sweet Valley High.
I think trilithium.
But time is of the essence. So Matt, Arula, and Rolfen set out in a community vehicle while Warrix supports the search for the crystal. Meanwhile, the powers of the Warriors of Light continue to grow. And after a telepathic contact with Arula, Olivia Canning suspects the pursuers. Their new creations are just right for them. Gajagadoos, dangerous earth snakes that turn into real beasts through targeted mutation. That's fucking awesome.
That is cool. I like it when Google Translate encounters a word it cannot translate.
Jagged like, earth snakes.
What do you want me to do with gajagadoos?
This sounds awesome, and I'd like to thank Francine for leading us to it.
And thank you, Francine, for writing that book to, under the pen name, Sasha Veneman.
Yeah, and we'll be reading that next week. I think that's all the time we have.
Sasha is Russian for champion of man.
Okay, thank you for saying that.
And Venom Man is Russian, is English for poisonous man.
Yes, thank you so much for saying that.
Champion
appreciate
of poisonous it. Man. I know how much you love etymology.
So. I like to hear you talk as well.
Yeah.
That's my compliment.
Should we go?
Yes, I'd love that. We're going to go. All We're right. also going to leave. I would like to thank you, Tanner, very much for bearing with me this week. I would like to thank the Sweeties for bearing with us. We love you so very much, and we also kiss you so very much. What I would like to tell you is that you please, can you subscribe to our Patreon? We've got a whole show, and we sing the descriptions. It's patreon.com/BSCCpodcast, and it's a good way to support us continuing to do what we do, even if you don't necessarily want more of us. You can give us $5 a month to keep us going, and also you get a good show, and it's every week. I would like to remind everybody that you can buy our merch at bit.ly/BSCCmerch. We've got t-shirts, we've got totes, we've got pins, we've got all sorts of fun things over there. Please do remember to rate and review our show on iTunes, which is now called Apple Podcasts, and subscribe. If you're not subscribed,
for some
subscribe.
Years.
And tell a friend about our show. Spread the word.
Yeah. Tell them that we are doing Sweet Valley High for a few episodes now, and if that's interesting to them, they can come listen.
Yeah,
we probably have another one or two left in the tank on SVH. But then if they like effing and essing.
Yeah, there's going to be a lot of that in the Strange Bedfellows podcast.
Tell them to listen to the Strange Bedfellows, our new podcast that we're coming out with in a couple weeks. Very soon here. We're just waiting on all of our hens to come to roost.
Yeah. And you can also join our Facebook group. All that remains is for me to say that this week we read a novel. That novel was called Sweet Valley High number 4, Power Play. We forgot to talk about hockey.
We didn't talk about hockey at all.
At all.
We could have talked about the Jean-Claude Van Damme movie, Sudden Death.
Oh, I would have
where he has
that.
To, it's like Die Hard if it happened so in good. A hockey arena.
It's so good. You have to watch it. You have to watch it. Next week, we're going to be reading a little novel. We're still reading these books until we launch our other show. And it's fun.
Yeah.
But at some point, we're going to suddenly stop reading them, at least for the foreseeable future.
And there may be little to no warning. So
yeah, there may be little to no warning. So just prepare
Strap
yourself
in.
For that. Next week, we're going to be reading a little book, and it's going to be called Sweet Valley High number 5, All Night Long.
Mm. Jessica's going to go boink a art major.
In college. It's going to be fucking like problematic in a different way that you and I are going to have to try to grapple with. Maybe you can give a speech next week.
I doubt it, but I'll try.
All that remains is for me to say now that this week my name has been Sweet Valley Jack.
My name is Tanner.
We don't have an outro. Goodbye.
Goodbye.
Sweet Valley Boys, if you love Sweet Valley, better make some noise.
I smell that?
No, I can't smell in your where you are.
It smells.
I can't smell anything. What does it smell of?
Sex and candy. Thank you for finally fucking asking.
Okay.
God.
Okay, fine. You got me. You fucking got me. Let's count.
Be very.